Hey, football fans, Drew Brees here. Kroger Play and Owner's Box have teamed up for the next generation of daily fantasy sports. First-time players can get $25 in free entries, plus 250 fuel points. And you can score all season long with 2x the fuel points for every dollar spent to use at Kroger Fuel Centers. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Void where prohibited. Eligibility restrictions apply. 18 plus in most eligible states, but age varies by jurisdiction. Offer is valid between 8/6/25 and 1/5/26. Terms apply. See full terms and conditions at ownersbox.com/footballfuelpointstc.
Moncrief on News Talk.
In the University of Galway, they've just developed a module to be offered to transition year students, and it's on empathy. Can you teach such a thing, and why would we need to teach that anyway? We're joined by Dr. Charlotte Silk from the University of Galway. Good afternoon, Charlotte.
Hi, how are you?
Could you describe the module first? What kind of, in concrete terms, what is taught to the kids?
Yeah, so it's a new micro module for transition year students, and it consists of 10 interactive kind of evidence-backed lessons that aim to support teachers in promoting empathy-related skills and understanding. And really briefly, it's kind of structured around 4 key learning principles. So we help young people understand what empathy is and why it might be important. We help them strengthen their empathy skills, identify and overcome barriers that might hinder empathy, and then practice engaging in empathetic action as well.
Right. Okay. And what kind of barriers stop empathy?
A lot of them, unfortunately. So this is probably something that's a little bit unique to our program. So when we talk about empathy, it's important to know that empathy is both about kind of our ability to engage in it, to understand somebody else's perspective, to feel with them, to take a response or an action to engage with them. But it's also about our willingness to do that. And in some situations, we might be more willing to engage in empathy than in others. And we're all guilty of this. Even the most empathetic person is not empathetic in every situation. You know, under different circumstances, we might actually be very unempathetic. And part of the program is about encouraging young people to reflect on what their own personal, maybe empathy biases and barriers are. And sometimes, so for example, we know from research that some of the barriers might be to who we're responding towards. And a lot of the research which suggests that we are more likely or find it easier to empathize with people who are similar to us or feel familiar. So people who are like us, essentially, whether that's down to shared experiences or whether that's down to similar backgrounds or ideologies. And we actually find it a lot more difficult or are less motivated to try to empathize with those that we think of as being different or not like us or who don't think like us or what we might call being part of, you know, a social outgroup.
Yeah. Because I mean, I imagine most people wouldn't like to think of themselves as lacking empathy. So, if you're teaching that to kids, they might feel the same and they mightn't be open to the idea that they have something to learn about it.
Yes, exactly. So I think this is something that is talked about a lot in the media about this concept of whether there is an empathy deficit, you know, whether young people are less empathetic. And I actually don't think that that kind of nuance is helpful because from my perspective, I think a more pertinent question and what is better for help people to think about more is when do we show empathy and who do we show it for? Because it's not necessarily a deficit in capacity for empathy. It's just sometimes about a deficit in willingness. And it's about considering the times and the situations where we're willing to show empathy, but then also looking at when, where, and why empathy breaks down.
Yeah.
And that's important, I think, for us. If we want, because empathy does have real benefits both for us personally, but also for society. And if we want to kind of realize some of that potential that society has for improving societal well-being, we need to look at these barriers and biases in order to help people address them and promote or expand who they're showing empathy for.
Yeah. Though if it's being taught to kids, obviously, or if the proposal is to teach this to transition year students, obviously there is a concern that there is an empathy deficit.
Well, I think everybody can work on strengthening their empathy. And there's a lot of debate in the literature whether there is a deficit. You know, I don't want to provide you with a solid answer because there is mixed evidence towards this. Some evidence will suggest, you know, when we look at previous generations, some studies have suggested that young people maybe show lower levels of empathy today than in previous generations. Other evidence has refuted that. But when we look at kind of wider principles, so not just empathy, I think there are a collection of studies and research that suggests that values in society are changing and that we are now moving towards a time when maybe values around individualism are becoming more important than values around community-related well-being or collective well-being. And I suppose, so that's the concern. And I don't think it's fair to say that that's only, you know, for young people. I think, you know, we are a society. We're all guilty of, you know, times when we have more bandwidth for empathy than others. But what I will say is, you know, one of the reasons why we look at adolescents, you know, and the teenagers is because it is such a crucial time point for developing empathy. It's not necessarily because they need it more, but that they are more open to learning about it and more capable. So if we just even think about the way that the adolescent brain is shaped, you know, this is a time when they are undergoing huge amount of social and identity development. So they are forming and solidifying their identities, their schemas, the way that they look at the world, how they interact with others, how they respond to conflict. You know, they are building their patterns of thought and habits of behavior. And these solidify as we go into adulthood. So they're much more difficult to change, whereas we're much more kind of neural plasticity in adolescence than we have in adulthood. So it's a really key developmental window to be having some of these conversations. And again, when we know when we look at kind of brain maturation and development, that the best way to conceptualize it is that empathy is like a muscle. Okay, if we don't use it, we risk losing it. And this is very important during adolescence because of all the synaptic pruning that is going on. The pathways that we aren't using tend to be removed and disappear as we age. So it's important to be practicing and empathy and engaging in these conversations during adolescence. And more so in adolescence than in childhood, because the areas of the brain that are involved in the likes of morality and ethics and empathy, they don't fully mature in childhood. We see these more in adolescence. So those kind of higher order cognitive skills that we need around abstract thinking or emotion regulation, they emerge during adolescence. So that's why it's an important period for this type of curriculum.
Yeah. I suppose some people might think, isn't this the kind of thing you might or you should learn at home from example, from modelling, from seeing your parents do this?
Yeah, I mean, absolutely, you're right. I mean, we're definitely not denying parents are a key socialisation agent for empathy, you know, not just for empathy, but for most things in life. And they're, you know, the earliest point where children learn empathy, and they learn it from a variety of parental practices. So yes, as you say, observing how their parents treat others, also what the values that their parents instill in them. You know, what do parents think that are important, and parenting techniques and disciplinary measures. So when a child comes home and, you know, is telling their parents that they've had a fight at school, does the parent, you know, just take the child's side, or do they say, well, you know, what was that other child thinking? You know, do they encourage them to perspective take and understand the opinions and experiences of those around them? So we know all those techniques have an important role. But schools are also really important, often because of the first place where children encounter values and ideas that are maybe different from their parents. And we also know that, you know, by the time children reach secondary school, parents start to have less of an effect on children's behavior, and peers start to have more of an effect. And so schools, both in terms of the curriculum and the culture, are important. And why we look at schools as well is that they're one of the few organizations that have the capacity to reach almost every child.
Yeah.
So parents are important.
Should people be empathetic to everyone? Is that part of that? You know, because there's some people you mightn't feel so empathetic towards for various reasons, because they might do things or say things or be a sort of person that runs counter to your own values.
Yeah, so I think that's a really good question. So I think sometimes, and I'm aware that there's a lot of critics of empathy who maybe, you know, don't think it's a good thing, or think that it's something that makes us overly emotional. But what I do want to say is that empathy is not about replacing kind of rational reflection or critical thinking. It's a tool that can be used alongside them and can augment these issues. So, you know, it's not necessarily about every time you empathize with someone, you know, you have an opportunity to learn from that experience and to engage in problem solving that can maybe benefit another situation or another time as well. So it can make you a greater problem solver because you are more willing and able to tackle issues by considering a multitude of perspectives, not just your own. And you're more motivated to find equitable solutions. And while it can be difficult to empathize with people who you don't like, it could still offer a learning experience.
Charlotte, thanks very much for speaking with us today. That was Dr. Charlotte Silk there, lead researcher with the UNESCO Child and Family Research Centre based at the University of Galway.
Moncrief, weekdays at 2 p.m. on News Talk.